All right, you can be opening your Bibles up to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's a very pretty flower up here. That's just great. I don't have a pocket or anything. I'd put it in there, but whoever put the flower up here, that's great. So we're continuing our series called Community, and our anchor text for this series is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So let's go ahead and read that passage, and we'll get started with the message this morning. Acts 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is the picture of these earliest believers. This is the infancy of the church. We see that there was a level of oneness that was there. There was fellowship that the people were experiencing together. Of course, what we read here is just after the events on Pentecost, right? Peter preached that great sermon, and thousands of people, literally thousands of people, gave their lives to Christ in baptism. They were told that upon baptism, they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Peter and the apostles were filled with the Spirit as they preached to the people that day on Pentecost. So one manifestation of the Spirit was the power that was at work in Peter and the other apostles as they preached. Then in chapter 2 and verse 38, upon being baptized, it's mentioned that the people would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now, in chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see as God's Spirit continues to work in powerful ways in His people. And so, another manifestation of God's power at work through the Holy Spirit is what we see here in 42 through 47. You think about these people that were now meeting together on a daily basis to break bread, to pray, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to share their possessions, all of that. These people would have had different cultural backgrounds. They may have at one time spoken different languages. Their stories would have been much different. However, now because of Christ, because of their conversion into the way of God that was found through Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them, they have this powerful community, this powerful fellowship. That all of these people would be willing to give of their possessions, that they would be willing to continually meet together in the homes of one another, is a demonstration of God's work in His people. And so we're calling this sermon today the Fellowship of the King being God at work through His people. It's not surprising that upon so many people giving their lives to Jesus Christ, that they would meet together, that they would experience fellowship, that they would live in relationship with one another. They had given their lives over to God through Christ, God who was a relational being. All the way from the beginning of the Bible, we see God working in and through relationships. We think first of Adam and Eve. Do you know the first thing upon creation that God said that was not good? It was that Adam was alone. He said, "That's not good that this man that I've made is alone." So He created Eve out of Adam. And so these first people to inhabit the creation that God had made lived in relationship, Adam and Eve and God together in the garden. Then from there in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. But what he says to Abraham upon that calling that we read about in Genesis 12 is that he is going to make Abraham a great nation. Abraham is not going to have a solo mission. It's going to be Abraham and God's people together who are going to be witnesses of who God is to the watching world. And so we see God being present in and among the people of Israel. We have a people, a group of relationships. Later on, Jesus comes in the scene and we think about Jesus was born into a family. The Gospels are going to mention his brothers and sisters. He had parents. He lived, God in the flesh, lived in a family context. And of course, Jesus calls the apostles. Again, it's not Jesus in a solo mission, but he is working with a group of 12 people, and later more disciples were going to be added to that group as people came to obey Jesus and want to teach him. Jesus was working in the context of relationships. And we think about God in God's self. Father, Son, and Spirit. Living perfectly in relationship with one another, demonstrating incredible, powerful, beautiful love, sharing a common mission and purpose. Father, Son, and Spirit. God in himself is a relational being. So when those Christians we read about in Acts chapter 2 were baptized into Christ, they became participants in the body of Christ. They became participants in a fellowship, in a church, in a community. They were now part of the community. And it's the same with us today. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are baptized into the body. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. A Christian is not an island. They are part of a fellowship. They are part of a group. That's what we see in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Paul writes there to the churches of Galatia, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So upon being baptized, we are included in the family of God. We are heirs of God alongside our brother, Jesus Christ. I love what Eugene Peterson says about this. We can no more be a Christian and have nothing to do with the church than we can be a person and not be in a family. There are no islands here. Christians are part of the body of Christ. They are part of a fellowship. They are part of a group. And being a part of the fellowship has all kinds of implications for the way that we interact with one another, the way that we live our lives on an individual basis and collectively. Turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read a little bit about the drama of the first family. We're not talking about the president here. We're talking about a different first family. They experienced all kinds of drama. Genesis chapter 4, let's begin at verse 1. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. So Cain did an incredibly evil act, killing his brother Abel. God went to Cain and he said, "Where is your brother? Do you know anything about your brother Abel?" To which Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I think throughout Scripture, that question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" continues to play itself out. And what we see as we read through Scripture, whether it's with Israel, whether it's with those that were included in the wilderness wanderings, whether it was these early Christians, to the question, am I my brother's keeper? God emphatically answers, "Yes, you are your brother's keeper." Some examples of that truth, that we are a brother's keeper. For the socially marginalized in the community of Israel, the people were called to take care of widows, orphans, aliens, lepers. Were the Israelites their brother's keeper, those that were socially marginalized? Yes. The early church, what we see in Acts 2, 42 through 47, they shared their goods with one another. Were they their brother's keeper? Yes. In the book of James, we read about, again, taking care of widows and orphans. James also talks about confessing sins to one another. Are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are. We're told to encourage one another, support one another, edify one another. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Are you your brother's keeper? The answer is yes. To live in Christian fellowship, to live in the family of God, to live in the community of faith, we have a responsibility toward one another. We are our brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. The church that the Hebrews writer addressed was facing many problems. They were either facing persecution or the threat of persecution because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Notice one of the things that the writer of Hebrews writes to these people. It's in chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So these Christians who are facing difficult times, one of the messages that the writer has to them is encourage one another and don't stop meeting together. Now, we're not talking about some legalistic church attendance here. That's not what the Hebrews writer is saying. He's saying the days are difficult. There's pressure on you. You need one another to support one another, to live on with this faith that you've been called to. You are called into fellowship. Together you stand. As islands, you fall. You need one another. And so a question that I have for each of us here today, a question for myself, thinking about Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, why are you here today? Why are you here today? Now, you could say, and you'd be right, to worship God. I need to worship God. And I'd say, that's right. That's good. But let's think about it a little bit deeper, a little bit more of what I believe the writer of Hebrews is saying. If we are here simply for ourselves, we are missing an important aspect of what the church is about. And so a question I think we should always be asking ourselves as we come together to worship, as we come together as a family of faith, is, am I ready to bless someone today? Am I ready to encourage someone today? Am I ready to support someone today? All kinds of stories represented in a group this size. People are going through all kinds of different things. And the truth of the matter is we can't get through those things alone. So are you ready to bless someone today? Are you ready to encourage and support someone today? You aren't just here for you. I'm not just here for me. We're here for one another. Am I my brother's and sister's keeper? Yes. Are you your brother's and sister's keeper? You are. We have a responsibility toward one another. That's what it means to live in fellowship. Elie Wiesel wrote a book called Night. And in that book, he recounts his experience of growing up in Europe during the Holocaust and he himself being part of a Jewish family. He lived in Romania. And when he was just a young boy, he and his family were forced to go to a concentration camp in Germany. They were forced to get into a train car in Romania, dead of winter, and go all the way to Germany. If you look on a map, that's a long ways to go. While they were en route to Germany, they would stop at various towns and pick up more people or pick up supplies that the Germans needed. One of the towns that they stopped in, here you have Wiesel and his family in a train car packed full of Jewish people. Dead of winter, the walls of the train car were mesh. They could see out, people could see in. At one of the towns where they stopped, a townsperson took a loaf of bread and threw it into the train car. Upon which, these people that were in the train car started to scramble for that food. You have people that had been in a train car for a long time, cold. They hadn't eaten anything. They started to fight over the loaf of bread. Of course, Wiesel, just a young boy, was watching what was taking place in this small, confined space. Wiesel wasn't fighting for the bread. As a matter of fact, he was looking out of the train car. And what he saw shocked him. The people that had just watched this man throw this loaf of bread into this train car of a group of Jews that were going to, many of them, concentration camps to die. They were cheering and yelling and smiling as they were watching the people in this train car fight over this loaf of bread, cheering, clapping, laughing, as people right in front of them were experiencing the most incredible misery that we could ever imagine. We live in a hostile world, a world that calls evil things good, and oftentimes good things evil. And as we think about the world that we live in, the truth is we can't do it alone. The task that we've been called to is a task for a community of people, not individuals. And so we come together to worship God, yes, but we also come together to support one another and encourage one another. We're a much brighter light when we're shining together. Back to Acts chapter 2. We'll look at the end of this section that we've already looked at several times. Verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this Spirit-filled community was making an impact on other people. They were gaining the favor of the people around. And the truth is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago, as we as a Spirit-filled community of God live out our mission, we'll be making an impact on this world. And the truth of the matter is the four walls that are containing us right now cannot contain the power of God at work in His people. And so tomorrow, this is a great truth. Tomorrow, the Church of Christ, the community of faith, is going to be at Leander Public Schools. It's going to be at tech companies all over Austin. It's going to be at HEB and Walmart. It's going to be visiting with our neighbors. It's going to be walking down streets. It's going to be driving down roads. These walls cannot contain the power of God at work in the community of His people. That's who we are. And I believe the truth that we see in verse 47 is a truth that can happen to us as we submit our lives to God and allow Him to work in us as a community of His people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. We're on a mission, and it's a mission that we're on together, allowing the power of God to be at work within us. These walls cannot contain the power of God. So as a church, let's live like this. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Let's spur one another on toward love and good deeds, encouraging one another because the day of the Lord is approaching. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, we would be glad to pray with you and for you. We're a community. We're a family. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put on the Lord in baptism, to become a part of the community of faith, the body of Christ, today would be a great day to do that. We would love to assist you in that, and more importantly, witness you make that decision. So whatever needs that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.